Welcome to the Inner Man Show Up podcast by men for men. If you're a new listener, welcome. If not, thank you for coming back and joining in on our conversation. The Inner Man Show is dedicated to helping men solve their problems, starting with their mental health and expanding outwards. Accountability, ownership, self-sufficiency are just some of the things we promote at the IMP. So if you're ready to take your personal development to new levels and become the best father, husband, son, friend, and community leader you can be, this is the show for you. As always, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is a beard grooming essentials online store based out of Vancouver, BC. Head over to The Beard Struggle today and check out the entire list of products. They have shampoos, conditioners, oils, balms, combs, and bags. The website is www.thebeardstruggle.com and use discount code INNERMAN for 15% off. That's INNERMAN for 15% off your next purchase.
You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/theinnermanproject, as well on Instagram at innermanyxh, as well as Twitter at innermanyxh. The Inner Man Project Foundation is proud to announce its Unmasked Masculinity peer-led group sessions are now being held in Calgary, Alberta. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can join Anthony Hart and Shane Smith at the Scarborough United Church. This is a great opportunity to discuss any mental health concerns you may have, connect with community resources, or simply connect with other men. If you're looking for more information, you can send us an email at innermanyxh@gmail.com.
Or check out the website.
Or check out our brand new website.
What's the website?
www.theinnermanproject.ca.
.com. CBD North only uses the best all-natural ingredients for their and use third-party lab tests to ensure their products meet the standards that all Canadians deserve. Based in Vancouver, BC, their team of experts are ready to ship to any city, town, village, hockey rink, or summer cottage in Canada within 2 to 5 business days. To show their commitment to fellow Canadians, they created the very first ever CBD assistance program in Canada. For those in need, they are providing a 45% discount on all full-price orders. Whether you're receiving COVID relief funds, EI, post-secondary students, persons of long-term disability, persons of low-income households, active military personnel, military veterans, first responders, including firemen, police officers, EMTs, seniors over 65, this is the website for you. They have oils, creams, gummies, and even products for your dog. This isn't a paid advertisement. This is us supporting an amazing cause. Skylar Roth, who's going to be running across Canada, I think it's coming to an end actually pretty soon, is raising awareness for mental health for the next 6 months. They're doing a fundraising each week, and at the end of each month, $5 per sale will be donated to Miles for Smiles. They're also donating $1,000 in total donations as a match. Check out CBD North on Instagram at North Wellness CBD, and check out Skylar's Instagram at Miles for Smiles Canada. Again, this is an amazing cause, and we at the Inner Man Project Foundation cannot be more pumped for this amazing and inspirational event.
Also, a huge shout out to the amazing individuals over at Myrtle and May, and a huge shout out to Tasha Chenard for designing these amazing mental health ribbons. We appreciate the love and donations. Make sure to follow Myrtle and May on Instagram at Myrtle and May.
Go over to Amazon, check out Talking to Myself, Brandon Hodel. It's on his website as well. I believe it's authorhodel.com.
He just launched a new website. I'm not 100% sure on it, but okay. He just changed it today.
Well, if you just go to Amazon and search Talking to Myself or Brandon Hodel, both his books will show up, Popular Monster and Talking to Myself. With that being said, Shane, we have some guests in studio today. Returning guest, Ted Finkelman. This is the first time you were on the camera, because the last time we only had the audio.
You have a face for camera.
And we have a face for camera. That's okay. That's okay. I got a face for radio. I've never heard that before. I got a face for radio. So that's okay. And we are here with practicum student and new member of the Inner Man Project Foundation, Rod Willier. Thanks for being here, guys.
Woo!
Thanks, yeah. Rod, why don't you introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and what your game plan is with the internet?
My name is Rod Willier. I'm a 38-year-old social work student from the Medicine Hat College. Dylan and Shane reached out to me, what, I want to say in August or something like that? To maybe get into the practicum with the Inner Man Project. I thought it was a great idea. I was already reaching out to some of the members in the group, and they're having, I guess, a little bit of issues.
Well, and that's exactly why we picked you. Not to toot your own horn, but like...
We'll toot it
for you. that was the main reason we reached out to you. We noticed how active you were in the group, and, you know, we asked why, like, you do what you do, and you said, that's the right thing to do, and that's the perfect answer for us. So, continue. Sorry, don't
make no worries. And then, this is my last year of social works, and then after that... I want to go get my bachelor's of social work just because this is the diploma, and then that'll be like another 2 years, and then 3 years after that, hopefully get my master's, and then really start plugging away at how the system works. And one end goal that I do want, I mentioned tonight in the drop-in session, I wouldn't mind working with young youths,
mm-hmm.
So they don't go along the same path I went.
Right.
I guess we could get into that.
For sure.
If you want
absolutely.
To, okay. I always respected the law growing up, but having that respect for the law, I also knew what I can get away with.
Hold that line.
I knew what to do, when to do it, how to do it, so I wasn't caught.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real, we can swear, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I did some real fucked up shit growing up. It took me until I was 22, 23 years old, laying in bed, heart pumping out of my chest, when I realized that either I was going to end up dead from an OD or dead in a ditch from the company I was hanging with or in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to clean up, went home by myself. Well, I got my dad to come pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
Went home by myself, detoxed by myself with no other help, kind of like how Ray Charles did it. He just did it himself, like, kind of style.
Yeah.
And then after I cleaned up, kind of went back down the same road.
Mm-hmm.
I got into
how old were you at this point?
I was 24 years old.
Okay.
And then
so easy to go down the same path, you know.
Yeah.
You recover, you think you're Superman, you're bulletproof, you're a young strong
yeah.
kid, and then right
yeah
down
exactly
the same path,
it's
right.
I guess it's the path of an addict, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was not until I met my wife now, where she kind of made me realize the person I was when we were, like, knew each other in junior high, I guess.
Right.
That outgoing, going out trying to help people, and she wasn't an ultimatum, but she kind of said, like, what are you going to be doing in 2 years?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you go and get this? Like, you're good at working, helping with people. So
that was your goal, too, to become a
yeah.
social worker, right?
Yeah, it always was. So when she said that, she's like, we live in Medicine Hat, we've got, there's this college is right there, you don't have to live in dorms,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and in 2 years, what was I going to be doing?
Right.
Probably nothing.
Two years from now, you're not going to have a diploma.
Yeah.
If
so,
you didn't go, right?
I mean, my biggest fear was I was 35 years old going back to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then
how
go.
Was that transition for you? Like, did you find you were the old guy in class or kind of fit in pretty well?
Shockingly, there was, I'd say, 1, 2, 3, 4 older people right around my age, between the ages of 36 to 40.
Okay.
Going
yeah.
into, like, my first year where I was taking my electives, which was actually really shocking.
Mm-hmm.
They helped the transition a little bit more.
For sure.
Well, you're kind of all in the same boat, right?
Yeah.
I mean, going to mature students, right?
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. And after that, COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that really sucked for the education part of it.
Absolutely.
The best part for me was I was able to relate to real life experiences where
right.
I found some kids that are 18, 19, fresh out of high school, where
had
no idea of how to relate to some of the questions that were being asked.
Just haven't lived life yet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're
and
just pups.
Yeah. And there's some kids that lived life at 18, 19 years
sure.
old, and
mm-hmm.
they know, like, what's going on. But my big thing was, yeah, my wife now saying, get your shit in a group, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
in 2 years you're going to be bitching about what you could have done 2 years ago.
Right, right, right. It's that procrastination that men do.
Yeah,
100%. I'll get it done in 6 months. It's okay.
Yeah, and
I
mean,
to remind me every 5 months.
Even in school, like, I'm still the same student I was in high school. Like,
yeah.
if I'm intrigued about something,
mm-hmm.
I'll get that project done in 2 weeks.
You're
yeah.
all in.
Yeah.
yeah,
but if it's really, I got to write this again.
Yeah,
I mean, I've got my smart goals that are due on Friday and I haven't even started.
No,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
if his teacher's listening, he's kidding about that. He's been done for weeks.
Serena definitely listens to our podcast.
I mean, but, like, with our, like, the new restrictions that just came down, we don't have class on Tuesday or Thursday, Friday now, to, right? So,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, that gives me a little bit of time. Thursday will be my catch-up day, which will be easy, and then I'll just start getting ahead. I
yeah.
mean,
right.
I was procrastinating the first 3 weeks. I got to get back into the groove of things. I haven't went to class since April, like, 10th or something like
right.
that. So,
right.
there's that transition going back.
It's hard to get back into that trend again when
yeah.
you haven't been used to it. I
yeah.
think a lot of people have dealt with that this last year, just, like, their norm being switched for them and then having to suddenly put it back in place again.
Mm-hmm. Well, and my big thing was, like, I golfed for I think I did like 100 rounds this year.
Attaboy.
And
yeah,
I mean, going
I never,
from
I never asked earlier, what's your handicap?
Shockingly, not that good.
For 100 rounds, huh?
Yeah.
You didn't say it was good at it.
Yeah.
I just like it, okay?
Anywhere between, I'll shoot. The lowest I shot this year was 78.
That's okay. That's solid.
The highest I shot this year was 95, but I average right around anywhere between 80 and 86.
Where do you go?
Medicine Hat golf course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's a tough course.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the only course I golf. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. It gets me out of the house. And, I mean, with COVID, that was the only thing we could do.
Absolutely.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
It was good. We got the kid out, the wife out, and
yeah,
they enjoy golf just as much as I do. So, it's
right
good.
On.
That's awesome.
How old's your kid?
She's 7.
So
well, she's the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I have any kids yet?
I have 5,
mm-hmm.
and I have 3 stepchild kids.
Okay.
So
you have a baseball team.
Small, small family. Have you considered starting a band?
Yeah.
So try to. Slipknot was already taken.
Dang it.
So what's your, I guess, what's the biggest thing you're looking forward to with the IMP, man?
Because, you know, we're not going to lie, we've only been doing this a year, dude.
Yeah.
we're learning together.
I would like to be able to start helping more men,
mm-hmm.
with and get rid of that stigma that men don't cry.
Yeah.
You don't need to show your feelings. You're a man. Suck it up.
Right.
Right.
So
mentality.
He's in the perfect place right now, essentially.
Yeah.
I know, because, like, when I was growing up, it would just... You get injured, and it was the, if it's not broken or bleeding, I don't want to hear a whimper.
100%.
And, I mean, that went for anything emotional,
mm-hmm.
trauma.
Yeah, not like you stub your toe playing hockey.
Yeah.
It was with everything.
Or
yeah.
Stubbing your toe when
yeah.
you're standing up in a river.
Yeah.
I called you out. What don't you do? I'll do it.
It's intense fall.
We'll get into it.
I signed a waiver.
Dude, we're really excited to have you on.
We really are,
And the big reason is because, well, number one, the Innerman Project, as long as you're a man, that's all we care about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is if you have problems, it doesn't matter if it's financial or relationships, it doesn't matter if you're battling mental health or mental illness. We want to have these conversations, like
yeah.
you said, to reduce that stigma. And the only way you do that is by having the conversation,
yeah.
right? And one of the things that I take in away, especially after this last weekend, it made me really recenter and refocus with the IMP, was this is a rewarding thing to do, man.
Oh, man. Like that's what I talked about in drop-in today, too.
Can I throw one thing there? Just because I feel like this question's asked a lot. We're also, if you consider yourself a man.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you
yeah,
identify as male, this is a place for
all
you.
All inclusive
yeah.
for male.
And I've had that question a couple times,
mm-hmm.
and so I just always want to make sure that is out there, that
yeah.
as long as you identify as male,
you're in.
You're safe
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
But it's so rewarding. Like, it was, you know, the last year of what we've been doing, it's great to talk to these men, and especially at the very beginning, it was really humbling because you realize that so many men are struggling with different things. And then over time, it became more of a men's advocacy group, not just mental health, but just men in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's, you know, like you had mentioned that you want to change the court systems, right?
Yeah.
And that would, you want to make an impact in people's lives with that. Well, that's what we deal with in drop-ins or in the internet retreat, because we have those conversations about, you know, whether it's an ex or whether it's with your kids or divorce, whether it's relationship issues, it doesn't matter. We have those conversations. And I think that, you know, after this weekend, seeing the response online, seeing the response from our guys, the Innerman Retreat is kind of like that once a year. This is the final hoorah before we continue on with our journey, right?
It was a perfect validation. I couldn't have asked for more out of our men, out of the leadership group, out of everyone. It was the perfect experience. And, you know, like I was saying, drop in too, is like I hit a level of inspiration that I've
mm-hmm.
never seen. And that stems from our participants.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice bit of relaxation, because let's be honest, this last year has been a grind for us. Like
yeah.
the stuff people are coming to us and talking about, like, it's been a lot, day in, day out, week after week. People are suffering a lot, and they're finding us to come with, and we're taking all the shine as much as we can. But it's nice to have that little bit of relaxing. But I do agree, like, I came back feeling very energized and inspired. Like, my entire body felt like I had been hit by a train.
Oh, wow. We beat the shit out of ourselves. Oh, holy smokes, man.
Dude, that was intense.
That was intense. Was a lot. Yeah.
I literally wanted to work out on Monday, and instead I had a nap. Then I'm like, I'll work out later, and then I had a nap.
I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but runner's legs, you get really, really, really sore quads and hamstrings from running. But I had that in my shins already starting Sunday morning. And by mid-afternoon, I was like, I got to get in the gym and get my body moving or I'm going to be seized up for like 2 days.
Totally.
So,
like,
yeah.
Like, we had guys push through tears. We had guys push through asthma.
Yeah.
like
almost throwing up.
Like,
yeah.
We had people definitely their
panic attacks
yeah, everything, like, we seen it all. Like, it was, and you know, laughter and above all was, you know, everyone came together.
Well, we had
as
guys
a team
basically talk themselves down, and then the rest of the group brought them back up.
That's right.
That was awesome to see.
Yeah
the
man left behind.
The craziest thing about it is it's like I was this is the difference between men and women, and they just, and it's nothing against like gender specifics, but I tell my wife, one of the guys had a panic attack, and then we all talked to him, and then he was better. She's like, you forced a guy to have a panic attack? I'm like, okay, it sounds worse than it was, and it sounds really bad when you say it like that,
yeah.
But no, what we're saying is, like, he faced his fears on his own. He made that decision to, whether he had a panic attack or not, this is what we're talking about, is, like, every single one of us after that happened went up and talked to him and congratulated him, and this, I can guarantee that he'll never have that fear again. And if he does, it's so diminished now.
Well, and this, like, the validation we got in drop-in, because the individual was in group tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, yeah, he went through some shit. It was hard for him, but he pushed through it, got through it, and now he wants to do a harder version of it.
Right.
And
what did he say? Is stage four?
He wants to do a stage four or five out of six.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like, this is a guy that, like, had crippling fear,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he got through it with the help of us. And, you know, and just facing his own fears and pushing through it. And it was just, yeah, like, man. Like, I just seen every single person grow tenfold.
That first,
the whole entire thing.
The first morning we were there, we did, it was a 5-kilometer run in total.
With a workout
with
in between.
A workout of sprints and bodyweight CrossFit. And
I'm getting tired again.
I remember the last, like, 400 meters, there was about an 800 meters left in the final run. And one of the gentlemen started tearing up, and he was, we were talking about letting go of, like, his past while we were running.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of Kelly actually stayed behind with him while I caught up to another gentleman, and he cried the whole way back, and, like, he fucking cheered for himself, and
mm-hmm.
he was hooting and hollering afterwards, and, like, that prideful moment, he was like a fucking lion, dude. He was roaring.
Yeah,
I remember him, like, standing there at the end, leaning over the vehicle, and he
mm-hmm.
was, like, crying
mm-hmm.
but smiling,
yeah.
and just that whole, like, holy shit, I did that, like,
yeah.
oh my god.
I'm surprised any of us did that.
Yeah.
It was, like, one of the worst wake-up calls I think I've had in a while.
It's
holy moly,
but,
man.
Like, that is shit that I've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, I've been around a lot of athletes, a lot of team settings.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen someone push that hard in my life,
mm-hmm.
including myself, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I've pushed myself to cry and work through it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, fucking kudos to you, man. That was very impressive,
mm-hmm.
and, like, that'll stick with me for the rest of my life, for sure.
And you know, a huge shout-out to the team, too, because there was moments where guys were, you know, they were falling behind, and we had to stop halfway, go back, run with them again. You know, whether it was an extra 400 meters doing this, an extra 50 push-ups doing that, you know, whether it was falling behind in paintball just to make sure guys are doing all right.
Yep.
Can you see? It's dark outside. You
yeah.
know, it's
just,
like,
getting pumped. You're like, I can't see nothing.
So it was...
Dylan, stop shooting at me.
It was an all around. It was just a fantastic weekend.
Yeah.
Ted, what was your biggest takeaway from an event like that?
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Yeah, put me on the spot. Yeah. I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me was just the fact, like, we did so much that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was that kind of moment of, I can do more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I go home, I can do more.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said in
yeah,
drop
it. It was so much just like, get up, go, get up, go, get up, go. And so, yeah, because I know, like, the last couple of weeks, just like as you guys know, I've been coming back from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really hard to get my energy back and my focus back. And it's been hard going from training to a commercial gym to training my own private gym now. It's
mm-hmm.
that difference. I've always fed off energy in gyms.
Yeah.
So I know some of my workouts, I'm dragging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why is this taking so long? I haven't
mm-hmm.
read that anything. And, like, my workouts this week is, like, going dun, 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 dun.
Rejuvenation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also helps that I basically book clients all around my workout time. So I'm like, I have 2 hours, or else I have no time after that.
Yeah, no, and good
smart.
For you. Good for you for building up that
yeah.
clientele. You're doing a fantastic job for that.
Good for you.
Yeah, shout out to the Hall Cut.
That's premier private.
What? Okay, what's the website?
Hulk, or HebrewHulkFitness.com.
Awesome. We'll plug it in the show notes for you.
Cool.
Shane, what was your biggest takeaway from this last weekend?
I kind of already touched on it, was the leadership that literally everyone showed in the right moment at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ted said, like knowing that, seeing the people do what they did
mm-hmm.
and push themselves to the limits was knowing that I can give more in every aspect of my
yeah.
life. And I've always felt that and believed it, but this was just that extra push, that extra go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that was probably the biggest takeaway. And you know, just built some good relationships and friendships through this all, and just super grateful and excited to take on the next group of gentlemen.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest thing that I took away from the whole weekend was men need other men.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's brotherhood, whether it's pushing themselves, whether it's, you know, sticking up for one another, dusting each other off, whatever they need, men need other men.
So I'm going to pull you by the shirt.
Yeah, not even the camaraderie was great. The leadership among the guys was great. But that was, for me, the biggest takeaway was just like, men are disenfranchised in today's society. And I think that the biggest thing that I saw from that is it didn't matter if we were disenfranchised. It didn't matter where you stood politically. It didn't matter where you stood with your faith. We were all men.
Well, you should just, like, if you were to look at the group of guys that we had,
mm-hmm.
every single person didn't look like they just were different people.
It was a mismatch. Like
a very, it was like a group of misfits.
I remember running down the street and people were driving by us, and I thought, if anybody sees us, this isn't going to make any sense as a group. We
no.
should not be together.
Are the Jehovah's Witnesses or what's going on here?
That's the thing, but
you know
what? What
group is this?
Everyone showed up.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
No one gave up. Not one person.
Right? And it's funny because there were a couple of guys said they were going to give up. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not running for this.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this.
Dude, the second one started running, they were like, oh, man.
Yeah. And then, boom, everyone's going.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Because even though people said they couldn't, you saw them. And it wasn't even like the, oh, my God, I'm suffering so much. It was like, oh, I'm doing this.
Before
yeah.
football,
yeah.
two guys came up to me. I don't know if I can do it. My legs are shot. And I was like, we'll get them warmed up. And as the second I said, you'll be fine. You get to get the lactic acid out of them. We just get them warmed up. They're like, all right, we get to the field, and they're like, oh, man, here we go.
And that was
one of those guys me?
That was your back.
And that was one of the funnest, like, I just loved all
yeah,
of it,
man.
Just
yeah.
because like, it was so raw. Everyone took it
mm-hmm.
seriously, but had so much fun.
Well, I don't know how sports work for the most part, and I was in so much pain at that point. And I was like, I'm not gonna do much. Like, I'm like, we'll see what happens. So the option to like sit out and then like come in and play. Okay, I'll play. And then I'll never forget like Kelly's response. It's like, man, I love playing with Ted. He just is so happy to be here and hold the ball, then just runs in random directions. I'm like, yeah.
There was not one point that we played that there wasn't a huge smile on your face.
Yeah,
the whole time.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Yeah,
I loved it. That was one of the best experiences.
To be fair, I wasn't a big fan of when I slipped in the grass and pretty much did the splits.
Yeah, everything was so cool.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
So, I really enjoyed this weekend with you gentlemen. Rod, if you get an experience for that next year, definitely join, man. It's
a
hell
sure.
of a time. With that being said, we do have some questions because it's the Q&A. So this is from social media. This is from Twitter, private forum, Facebook, Instagram, the whole nine yards
notes.
Here. Notes. Yeah. So the first question is actually something we've talked about in the past. This is one of the gentlemen who attend the Calgary Peer Sessions. I want to bring my son to the Interman Retreat. Will there ever be a father-son event?
Hell yeah, there will be.
Yeah. So our goal next year is to have a father-son event for ages 12 to 17, yep. where and we do events like we did this last weekend, but with our sons.
We've been talking about this for a little while now. It's kind of been in the works, in the back of our heads, and actually it's funny that this comes up now, because I think, what, 2 weeks ago we finally talked about this in the boardroom and said, this is going to happen. How we got to start planning this out.
Yeah.
So we don't have a hard deadline right now, but it is in the works and it is coming, so suit up.
And with what we've seen, if we put something in the works, it happens somehow.
We're doers.
One of the things that I'll say is, a weekend like this last weekend, you can make like that weekend age appropriate.
It was super easy. Any kid could have came with us.
Absolutely.
And they have survived.
Actually, I think the kids would have done a lot better.
Probably have a better better legs under them, let's be honest with ourselves.
We'd be complaining, we're sore. The kid's like, what's next?
Yeah, for real.
Go to bed.
That's only 5 kilometers?
Halfway through the 5K, Jeremy Deck, one of the members of our board, he looks at me and goes, I don't know what the big deal is with you guys. It's just running.
Yeah.
The text message he sent the group to chat on Monday, he was just like, update, still broken.
That'll learn you.
We will be having a father-son event, and it will be happening in 2022.
And it will be awesome.
And it will, it'll be fantastic.
Will that include just paternal fathers, or can you be a stepfather to your stepfather?
Stepfathers,
anybody.
Just
any
to get that out there.
Identify as a father, let's do it.
I'm
sure there may be paper required for legal purposes, but we'll find a way to make it work. So any stepfather or anything like that, or I'm sure even uncle, nephew sort of thing. If you identify as father figure, we'll find a way to make it work.
Yeah,
absolutely. This is a great question, actually, because it's very vague, but we have several guys in here that have different ways of doing fitness. So what would be the best way to start training? I'm lacking in physical fitness and need to get in shape. Rod, I mean, you played sports your whole life. You're a golfer by trade. What do you think, man?
For me, pre-COVID, I was going to the Family Leisure Center, and as funny as it sounds, because I was with a whole bunch of senior citizens, was doing AquaFit. Just because, they use AquaFit for rehabilitation on knees, shoulders, ribs in professional sports. Mm-hmm. You got more restraint in the water, but you're only using your own body weight, mm-hmm. which is probably the reason why it's works so well.
My mother used that first. She got both her knees done, both mm-hmm. replaced, and that was the doctor's number recommendation, was get into AquaFit as soon as possible.
Makes it easier.
She has been 15 years now. I think she still does it.
Except that guy's an animal.
He's not human.
He jumps out of the water.
It's just start what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I think we were talking about it today.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just taking a walk around the block.
Totally.
Yeah.
Start somewhere.
Right?
Yeah.
Start somewhere. It's, you got to take that first step, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to crawl before you walk, and you got to walk before you run.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. I agree, man.
Perfect.
Ted?
Okay, so my best advice is build your own gym
mm-hmm.
and become a bodybuilder and obsess about it.
Yeah. That's
it. Okay. I love this question, actually, because I've thought of this a lot over the years, and I think you're right. Do what you can do. But the other one that is, I think, the most important is, it's the fitness you enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that so many times where I have friends that start powerlifting. So they make other friends powerlift. They're like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. I don't enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
I took a 2-year hiatus from bodybuilding, and I got into powerlifting, and I was never passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the point where I had a meat in mind. I was looking to buy the singlet. Everything was ready for it. But I'm like, I don't enjoy this training anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a firm believer. It's, you got to find what you enjoy. If you want to do fighting, awesome. If you want to run. It doesn't matter if someone says, oh, that fitness isn't as good. I'm not CrossFit. I have respect for anybody that does CrossFit.
Totally.
I'm completely honest.
It's hard.
As long as it's done properly and you're actually doing everything the way you're supposed to, then I have respect for it. But it's find the fitness you really enjoy. Some people just love those dance videos.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a complete idiot when I do a dance video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about you guys. I have no rhythm.
Well, Zumba classes. Yeah.
But if you do the one you enjoy, and then the next thing I would say is, if you are doing any kind of weightlifting, the number one best tip I can give to anybody is, whatever movie you're doing, understand why you're doing it and what you try and hit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say pet peeve, but it is to a certain extent. People that come to the gym and they never take the time to understand the movement they're doing. They're just going through the motions because your injury rate is high. You're not going to see the results you want, and it's just going to create more and more problems.
Mm.
And if you're in a big public setting like a gym, there's nothing wrong with asking someone. Mm-hmm. And my rule's always been, find the biggest, scariest looking guy in the entire gym. Don't find the rip shredded guy.
And fight him.
Yes,
throw a dumbbell at him.
But I usually find like the big, big, scary looking guys are usually the calmest. As long as you talk to them respectfully,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna give you all the information they
have. You know, they're big guys, they're passionate about it, they've done it for a long time, they'd like to talk about it.
And they understand what a starting point is.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that just have genetic abundance of fitness, and you have to find the people that have really had to work to achieve what they've got.
Yeah, if you're looking for strength, look for the strongest guy.
Yeah.
If you're looking for size, you look for the biggest guy. If you're looking for athleticism, go watch the guy doing CrossFit. You know, that's a great advice. That I spent many years in the YMCA dungeon watching big dudes when I was like 15, being like, what's he doing?
I was gonna say, if you're looking for athleticism, find the big guy.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. That's awesome.
Yeah, everyone's got great advice. I'll just give an example of what I did when I was at my heaviest. So, you know, stood behind a desk.
What was your heaviest?
210.
210, and what's your lightest?
130. So I graduated high school at 132.
You were boxing at 136 and playing rugby, right?
Yeah.
I've just come to realize I'll never get back to my original weight, but I mean, 10 pounds, 6 ounces just doesn't make any sense.
132 for me is not in the cards. That would be, I don't even know. Yeah, I filled out a little bit from there. But right now I'm in a pretty healthy weight. Obviously, I want to do more. I want to drop down to 170 shredded and then bring myself up. But when I was at my heaviest, I didn't realize it. I really didn't until I seen a video of myself. I'm like, ooh, I'm fat. That's not good. Mm-hmm. Got to do something about that. A little bit of self-hate and a little bit of...
Damn it.
You know, how did I let that happen? And then what I did is I just did some basic stuff. I went and I signed up for Beachbody, and that was my starting point. I just did body stuff, weight. Insanity was my go-to at that
point. You started moving P90X, brother.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, P90X and all that kind of stuff, and that kind of transitioned into lifting, and then it transitioned into, you know, I'm not a bodybuilder, but my workouts are the same as Dylan's.
Yeah.
You know, so I enjoy it and it's fun. Like Ted and Rod had said, find something that you enjoy and run with it. If you like to shoot hoops, go shoot hoops. If you want to, whatever it might be, just go for it. But like, for me, it was just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started, it was immediate attraction.
Yeah.
So, you know, take that walk around the block, do whatever you gotta do. Get the juices flowing a little bit, you'll find your way.
That's the biggest thing. Just movement in general, I find, is the biggest thing. If you find your outer shape and just not feel like yourself, move.
Yeah.
Move in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My advice, kind of is a synopsis of all your guys.
Yeah, you have to go last, so that's the hardest part right now.
He said everything I was gonna say.
So I'll break this down in two categories because I feel they're both equally important, and I don't know what specifically your guys' background in this, but the number one thing I would say is learn self-defense of some kind.
Yeah.
So whether it's jiu-jitsu, boxing, kickboxing,
karate, whatever it might
matter,
be.
Right?
Yeah.
So my biggest thing is learn how to defend yourself. That's a workout in itself, man. You learn how to kick, you learn how to punch, you learn how to choke somebody out. I found jiu-jitsu, when I trained jiu-jitsu, was the hardest because it's problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy if you had a good chin to bite down on a mouthpiece and tuck your chin. You can take a couple off the forehead.
You can take a couple.
It's really easy if you condition your shins to throw kicks at people. But it's really, really difficult when a guy half your size is demolishing you in chokes. And
you're tangled all up.
And you're like, why is this so heavy? So it's a lot of high-risk problem solving. I like self-defense as well because it gives you a great workout. The other thing I'll say is try as many different things as possible because you don't know what you like. I was a bodybuilder, and I am a bodybuilder, but I trained powerlifting to start out my weightlifting life, to train for sport. After that, I moved to bodybuilding for, God, almost 10 years. It wasn't until this last 2 years during COVID and figuring out how to train without a gym where I really enjoyed CrossFit because I was like, well, I can really, really push myself with limited amounts of equipment here. So I trained CrossFit, and then I started doing hard cardio runs, rowing, things like that. What I realized is whatever I did, as long as I did it as hard as I could, I was happy. Body,
look at this, guys. I'm talking about
bodybuilding, though, was it's kind of my base, right? So, you know, now the way I train is I train hypertrophy 4 to 5 days a week, and then I do cardio 3 to 4 days a week. So sometimes I'm doubling up. But what I'll say is the cardio ways, I'm always changing it up, whether it's a walk or a run or doing CrossFit workouts. Weight training, I do basically like power building. So I do power workouts, so power lifting, and then, of course, bodybuilding. But experiment. Find out what you like. There's lots of guys who just pick up a kettlebell and they can do everything with that. So yeah. That would be my advice to that. Good answers, guys.
I'd say the biggest one, doesn't matter how much you lift or work out, mm-hmm. the biggest one has to be your diet and water intake.
Oh, big time.
Big time, yeah.
If you go and work out 5 days a week, but you're eating McDonald's 7, mm-hmm. and you're extra large, super size, whatever, you're not going to see any results. You're mm-hmm. more or less contradicting your whole mm-hmm. workout process.
Anyone listening now who's really into this topic, my absolute favorite quote for this, you cannot out-train a bad diet.
Mix in a salad. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay. How do I convince my wife to jump on board with counseling?
Mm. So, quick question.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, are we talking about couples counseling or just her getting counseling or both?
I'm assuming couples counseling.
I'm going with couples counseling.
And well. That's how I was planning on.
How about we attack it with both? If you
want
to
play devil's
advocate,
sure. I guess it's not really devil's advocate, but two different scenarios.
Yeah.
Rod, we'll start with you, man.
To get your wife into couples counseling, I guess you'd have to have a sit-down talk with her right off the hop to see why she doesn't want to go.
Right.
It goes back to the last drop-in on Sunday where I was telling one of the guys about Simon Sinek and the Golden Circle. If you can make your wife believe why mm-hmm. you want to go to couples counseling, mm-hmm. she'll... I don't want to say follow suit because it sounds like a possessive thing, mm-hmm. but she will understand where you're coming from more open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the way I look at it, though, is, you know, following suit's actually a good way to look at it, because if you look at a marriage as a team, mm-hmm. you're both on the team. Mm-hmm. You're both equal playing field, and you're just saying, in this position right now, I'm going to lead the charge and trying to get us help.
Yeah. So. And by yourself, you... That one would be a little bit harder because... the wife or even yourself, if you think you don't need counseling but you kind of do and people are telling you, mm-hmm. you're not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. That goes back to like the addict thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you're an addict and you don't want to get help, you're not going to go and get help. You need to come to your own conclusion that, hey, I need to go and get help.
Right.
But yeah, with the couples thing, it's, yeah, like you said, Dylan, it's a team sport. Mm-hmm. You can't win by yourself in a marriage unless if you want to get a divorce. And,
That's a great way to lead.
I mean, Skoden. But like, yeah, it's a team thing. Yeah. You got to be able to. I mean, every marriage, like if a marriage has ups and downs,
but
it's a given.
It's work.
You're not gonna. It's not unicorns and rainbows like they show in the Notebook. Sorry, ladies.
My favorite movie.
Sorry, Shane. You know, it's not like the lovey-dovey romantic movies that you see. Wow. It's
it takes work falling in love with your wife, man.
Yeah, and
it takes work
and to stay
and to stay in love.
Yeah,
right. People say I think it's the 5-year lull. The 5-year lull where most marriages get into a little rut and they
7-year itch,
and then the 7-year itch, and then mm-hmm. like. There's, I think, in Canada, I think right now, it's like your first marriage, it's a 52% chance of divorce rate.
Yeah.
And then if you get married a second time, that bumps up to 65 or 68%.
Ooh.
And then I think if children are involved that are not yours with stepchildren, it even jumps up more to like a 75% chance.
Mm-hmm.
When that comes into effect, the parents that are like the married couple has to realize your kids are going to leave the house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be, I mean, you might have empty nest syndrome after that, but that can be a totally different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that are left are going to be in your house is you and your husband, you and your wife.
Right.
So if you've got no one else to talk to,
mm-hmm.
who do you want to go to out with? I mean, I think what movie was it? The Couples Retreat. Who do you want to go to TGIF with? Right? If you don't make it work, you're going to be by yourself.
Right. That's right. You can, you got to continue to build as you go.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing with guys is, like, there's a lot of guys that I talk to who are, you know, she's not into me. She doesn't want to do this. But, like, have you held her hand? Do you take her on dates? Do you buy her flowers? Do you court her? Do you date her? Like, that's a big thing that I think is missing in a lot of relationships today. And especially during COVID, it's really difficult to make the time and to find a place that you can go to. But at the end of the day, you got to, you still got to date each other. You got to make each other fall in love.
If it's worth it to you, you'll make the time.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And like, to guys who are in that 5 or 7 year wall, I'm coming up on 5 years with my wife. And it's just like, I don't think that we've ever really had. So the first thing I'll say is, communication at the highest levels about everything. Set boundaries as they come up too. So like 4 years in, we're still setting boundaries with each other. We're still saying, hey, I didn't like the way you spoke to me. I don't take it as an attack. There's no harm done there. But just, you know, next time, maybe approach it this way. When you approach conversations like that, and like Jane always says, there's always a way to convey your message. There's always a right way to handle the way to have a conversation. So I think between the communication, the intimacy, not just being sex, but being dating, spending time together.
Cuddling on the couch.
Yeah. And here's the thing, me and Mel aren't big cuddlers. You know what we are? We're read a book on each other's couch beside each other.
There's a presence.
Right, that that physicalness or that social presence, right? So those are just little things that I would say to top that off. And yeah, you guys are a team. For sure. Approach it as if you guys are, you know, we're on the same team. We want to win the championship. We want to win it every year.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it's got to be done, right? Dead? Other way.
See, I almost feel like horribly unequipped to answer this question because all the statistics that you gave out, I'm the only one here that failed them. Yeah, so I'll be honest, my marriage, we should have gone to counseling. But, I'll be honest, she wasn't the biggest fan of it. And by the time she finally was, it was way too late.
Right.
And I've heard that from a lot of marriages, is that one person kind of wants to go. And granted, I could have done a better job of trying to convince her. I will say, though, like me and my girlfriend, we've already talked about going to counseling together and, like, bought, like, relationship books to try and just make our bond stronger.
Definitely.
I think that's a big part of it. Like, early on, to kind of just jump on and be like, hey, there are certain things that we're not working on right well. And a lot of guys, especially when you're early on in a relationship, you just kind of jump ship and move forward. And we kind of went, like, can we make this better now? And so that's something we've been trying to work on, is like, just sit down, talk. Because, like, we've already had our ups and downs, because we, like, you know, started dating during, like, the toward world of COVID. And so we kind of had to be like, hey, if we're going to make this work, we have to put in the effort now, which I find is a problem like a lot of people have. Like, I've had relationships before where everything is so good for so long early on that when it actually hits time to have issues, you don't know how to deal with it each other. You haven't ever learned how to talk. All you've known is, you know, all the happy good stuff. And it actually makes a... Has anybody here ever seen the movie Hope Springs?
No.
Hope Springs is actually a great couples movie that I think every couple should watch.
Hope Springs.
It has... I was going to say Marilyn Manson, but that's not...
I'm definitely watching it then.
Yeah. It has...
Is it an old movie?
No, it's a newer movie, actually. Okay. Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones.
Marilyn Manson and Meryl Streep.
Marilyn Manson married Tommy Lee Jones. That's a movie to watch, right? it's also got Steve Carell in it as well. It's about this old couple, and they're like in their, like, I think 50 years of marriage. And she just realizes that she's just not happy. Because it's their entire life is just routine. That whole thing about courtship, that's kind of what it deals along with. And so she's like, I want to go to this retreat. And because she heard about this, like, marriage counselor they go and talk to and stuff like that. And he apparently, like, saves marriages. And it's funny because, like, it gets in there. And so she tries to, like, basically said, I'm going to go without you. If you don't want to come, I'm going to go without you. She gets on the plane and then he sits down and he's just grumpy. It's Tommy Lee Jones at his best, being a grumpy old man. And then as they get there, they kind of sit down for lunch, and there's a couple beside them who's like, are you here to see the so-and-so doctor? Because it's a very small little town. And these couple is just so in love, fun over each other. And they're like, we're back for a checkup. And these and Marilyn, Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones are just like, they're at the same table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not in love. They're just a couple at the same table.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of great, that aspect of this couple being like, oh no, he works, does his thing. And so it's a very slow moving, progressive movie, but it's that same thing. It's, you realize that there wasn't the courtship, there wasn't the talking over these years,
mm-hmm.
and they just got used to just being as they are. So I'm not going to say too much more to ruin it, but it really breaks that down of like, it, that talk of almost how to keep a marriage from getting stale.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I'd taken some of those lessons a bit more to heart early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that I'm wishing I'd fix my marriage or anything, but there's good lessons in it. But yeah, and that was kind of just like a very unique way. She's like, I'm going to go. Whether you want to go or not, I'm going
to
go.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with marriage when it comes to routine is that communication and
yeah.
courtship. And, you know, we talk about manufacturing struggle on the show, like going to the gym, putting yourself through adversity, you know, doing certain challenges. Like this weekend, it was 100% manufactured adversity. We did stuff that we didn't want to do, and we made it do it so we could, you know, overcome adversity later in life. And, you know, I'm grateful because my wife and I had a lot of adversity through different, you know, outside of our relationship issues the last 4 years of our lives, right? Whether it was court or it was loss of life or it was sickness or whatever we were dealing with within our marriage, we dealt with it together, right? So now when things are like going good, we're like kind of looking at each other like, shit's supposed to be going wrong.
When's
like,
the pin gonna drop?
Yeah, so, but that's also a really good thing, right? Because I truly think that most people, they don't have enough go wrong in their life. And then they do get into a routine. And then 50 years later, they're done paying bills because they're done paying bills. They got no mortgage, the car's paid off, and they sat there, worked their whole life with the retirement fund, and they're like, what did we do for the last 50 years?
Just mm-hmm. exist together.
Right, we just paid bills, and now we're going to die together.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I know for sure I don't want to be that, but that's, whoever asked that question, if that would be the advice I give, do you want to just pay bills and live the next 50 years of your life together, or do you want to be happy, healthy,
mm-hmm.
and happy?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys left me the scraps.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to just kind of take it a little bit of a different direction of, I guess the singular, if it's for her, on her own, if she's struggling with her own stuff, like Rod mentioned, if she's in that pre-contemplative state, she's not ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
She won't go. But what I will say is continue to encourage lightly, you know, be there for her, you know.
And how would you do that, Shane?
How would I,
mm-hmm.
how would you?
That slight encouragement to be like, hey, babe, like.
Essentially just being there all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she needs someone to talk to, be that person to talk to. Don't just
yeah.
fluff it off. You need to talk to a counselor about this. I can't
yeah.
help you. No, listen. Yeah. Sit down and have that conversation. You know, it might be tough and you might not know what to say, but she might not need you to say shit.
Yeah, sometimes it sucks.
Just someone to listen to.
Yeah, I'm really guilty for that, for not, like, just being there sometimes when the wife's talking.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, like, the big one that I've heard over and over and over again in, like, books and social work that I'm reading right now, the big key one for any relationship for men is to listen to your female.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen to your wife, listen to your girlfriend, listen to your significant other, male, girl, male, trans, whatever it is.
Right.
You just got to listen to your partner.
Yeah.
Half the time, your significant other just wants you to sit, listen, let them vent, no advice given.
Yeah.
I mean, and for some of us as males,
mm-hmm.
like, we're protectors, we want to be the fixer, right? So
yeah.
the wife will start telling us a problem and we're like, okay, honey, I know what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is da 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 da.
I think
right?
we're all guilty of that.
Yeah. And I mean, most females are like, fuck off, I just
mm-hmm.
needed you to listen.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to fix my problem.
And that's the thing, it's like, I've had my girlfriend come to me and she's like, tell me a stressful day. She's like, hey, I just want to talk right now. Or do you want my advice?
Mm-hmm. See, and that's the communication piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people fluff at that, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, do you want advice or do you want this just to listen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
the way,
a good way to start off a conversation, really.
The way I look at it is like business and leadership, right? It's just like, okay, so in business and leadership, do you have, who's going to succeed more? Like the manager who walks into the room and says to his employees, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it X, Y, and Z. No questions asked. Go to work. Or is it the guy that walks into the room and says, What do you guys need from me? How do you want to handle this today? How are we going to get this done? And then goes around and talks to everybody. That's how you succeed in business. It's also how you succeed in life. Mm-hmm. Right?
To be fair, I think there's a time and a place for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure we've all had a time where our spouse is just, like, struggling, not doing well, and sometimes just got to take over. And I'm sure we've all had that same thing, too,
mm-hmm.
where we're just struggling, and we don't need advice. We need just help right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Help us do some stuff, and then afterwards be like, you know what, thank you. That's exactly what I needed right now.
Totally.
Like, I do agree with you. Most of the time, it is the, hey, let's talk and discuss this back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But every so often, there's a bit of importance of just, like, I am swamped, and then the other person comes in and just kind of swoops in a little bit, helps some things out.
But as long as you communicate that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's a lot of, when it comes to that relationship part, you could be struggling internally or dealing with something or need to talk about something or need her help. But if we as men or her as a woman keep that bottled in inside and never communicate it, then we're never going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up into a huge fight. So I think that you're absolutely right. And men, don't be afraid to ask your female and your spouse for support. Like,
wow.
if that's the biggest thing, right?
That took me a long time to learn, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Actually, I need help.
Personally, for me, I'm run by emotions very often. But I've been really learning to take a step back a lot quicker than I normally would in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I come in hot initially, and then almost right away it's like a reaction, like, oh, stop that. That's too much. Like, let's scale it back and have that conversation instead of,
mm-hmm.
not that I get upset or start yelling or anything like that. I'm just, like, really passionate about what I'm talking about. So I come in, like,
mm-hmm.
it's, like, almost like a step back. Like, you're coming too close to me at this point. I don't
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming
yeah.
in like a sidey Sam.
That's just pretty, 100%. And it's just, like, and then, like, before it would take me a long time, it would, like, the conversation would be over, and then I'd walk away. And I'd be like, that is not how I wanted to convey my message.
Mm-hmm.
And then
going
now,
back and discussing again.
That's right, yeah. And then and as Dylan knows, and we talked about it at on the retreat, is I tend to do a lot of replaying of all the conversations that I have during the day. That's
mm-hmm.
like how I end my day, and like you know, I try to be better every day by saying, like, did I react to that right, or was what something I could work on, or how
mm-hmm.
I could be better. And doing that is essentially helping me to slow down in those moments where I'm like, hey, you're getting a little hot, slow down, and like
mm-hmm.
to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm starting to be able to slow that down mid-conversation instead of walking away and having to come back and be like, I'm sorry for that, but let's have this conversation now.
Mm-hmm. This last
growth, though.
Go ahead.
That's
there.
Right.
Sorry, that's good growth on his part.
Yeah.
Move.
Figure it out. It's all good.
Wow.
You okay?
I just crashed right there. My brain just stopped working.
That's where I live. I live in that state.
Welcome to the podcast.
if we're going to jump away, I do want to touch on one more thing.
Sure.
Just because you kind of touched on the whole, like, if it's her, trying to get her to go to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the best ways to kind of approach that would be the let's go to see a counselor together.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, when they're put with something like that, like, hey, I think you should talk to a counselor about your anxiety, your depression,
mm-hmm.
your whatever it is,
right.
it's a very isolating feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're putting that burden on somebody, like, you have a problem, go fix
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially in a couple, it should be, hey, things aren't working the right way, let's go take care of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes, I guess I should convey what I was saying a little bit better too. This is after you listen to them talk out their situation
yeah,
and
yeah.
how they're struggling.
We
and
know
then,
what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going for the sure question of how do I help them, convince them to go to counseling?
Totally.
And be like, hey, let's go. Let's,
so,
let's
and,
go.
And this
go.
Is how you have that conversation. It's just like, okay, so let's say we're talking about work. We've had this conversation 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
As always, I'm going to sit here and listen to you. But why don't we go to counseling together so I can help understand your problems better?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's how that works. And it's
yeah.
vice versa. Because then what you're saying is, I'm not putting this onus on just a therapist or a social worker or counselor
yeah.
or whoever they're dealing with. I want to solve this problem with you.
Help me help you.
Yeah, help me help you, right? You going into being a hothead, talking about that is... having kids help me with that and having to communicate with children, right? So I came into the role as a stepdad and then having my own children with my wife. And one of the things that astonished me at the beginning was how quick-tempered I am. Because I was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And then you have to go apologize to, like, a little 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm really sorry.
There's no shame in that. There's no shame in that.
So, but what I will mention is this last weekend at the retreat, there was a miscommunication with the two companies we were dealing with, and I almost killed somebody. No, I wanted to.
You said that on camera and everything. You're getting taken away.
So basically, metaphorically speaking, I was really upset at this situation.
I was literally, he wants to kill someone. Metaphorically, he's upset.
Yeah, metaphorically, I was upset.
Say that.
So anyways, this situation was just a miscommunication. Basically, one company told us we were going to get a discount. Another company told us we were going to get a ride somewhere else. And it never happened. We had to drive all the way back to Canmore and then back out to where we were going. And in that moment, I was just like, Dylan, there's nothing that can be wrong. It's not this guy's fault. So don't say anything to him. Mm-hmm. And it's not the other guy's fault because he has no idea what's going on. Nothing can be done. There's no one to blame here. You can't even blame yourself because this wasn't, you were told something else by someone who's not here.
Mm-hmm. And even trying to find somewhere to place the blame on someone, that's not going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
You know, the situation's already ahead of you. You can't do anything about it. Placing the blame is probably going to make you feel like shit after. And
so
it got dealt with.
Yeah, and I took that anger and I was just like, boom, here you go, let it go.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of holding on to this? Whether it's for 2 seconds or 2 days. And I used to be that guy that used to hold on to that. And, you know, 5-6 years ago, if that would have happened to me, I would have carried that the whole weekend. I would have been so mad at myself that I let that happen. But I was just like, it's a mistake. And I even went up to you guys afterwards. I was just like, it is what it is, boys. Let's get on the bus. And then there was no problem. Like, all of us were like, okay, cool. We're getting on the bus. We're going to cool down and relax for a bit. And
we were all wiped at that point,
right?
Too.
And then it became, here's the next step. It wasn't you being mad for half an hour and then figuring the next step. It was, okay, is what it is. What's next?
Yeah.
Well, and that was the biggest thing. You know, I made the jokes about wanting to kill somebody, but it was just like, yeah, that used to be me. Right, that used to be that anger and that resentment that used to build up, whether it was a situation like that, a family issue at home with my parents or my brother when I was younger, or it was a situation at school with a kid that was bullying me or I saw somebody being bullied. That was the first instinct, was just like, oh, I gotta take care of this situation physically with violence. And it was just like, no more. And that for me was also a big moment. And it wasn't a moment that I'm not used to. It was a moment of like, oh, I'm doing this as in like a second nature.
And you're not taking a step back.
Yeah, I wasn't even having to think about it. I just let it go.
And
right?
Like,
so
how many teenagers and young men, or even like men my age, still at 38, still have that same thought process?
Men at 60, right? 70, 80, 90 years old.
They still, they'll fly off the handle and let's go throw knuckles.
Yeah.
Right off the bat without taking that step back.
Mm-hmm.
To have a little bit of a thought process about what's going on.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a quote, like holding a grudge is like, or disliking someone is like drinking poison, thinking you're going to poison the other person.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
You're only killing yourself. So,
yeah.
I mean, like you said, it is what it is. There was a TikTok video, which is weird, that said, if you ever meet someone who says it is what it is, they've been through enough shit in their life, positive and negative, that they know that it happens.
Yeah.
You gotta let it go. It's life. You can't change it. And well, it is what it is.
Control what you can.
Yeah.
The things that you
can't
you have to accept.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like for me, what I realized was like a lot of the conversations I was having with people this last weekend and the conversations we have with Peter, and what it just became clear to me is this, like, that notion of letting go is becoming like second nature for me. I just like, here's the emotion, experience it, we're not holding on to this, just let it go.
Yeah. Have a moment of
Whatever it, the anger, or it could be complete sadness, right? And it's just like, all right, dealt with it, on to the next one, right?
That's right.
That's
fun, baby.
That's a great quote, man. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not going to change it for anything.
Yeah.
It just happens, right? So,
we've said let it go so many times, I'm really holding back saying
you
need
this.
Don't do it.
You do it.
Don't.
we'll do back up.
Alrighty, boys. We're already an hour in, so thanks a lot for doing this, guys. Appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome.
Ted, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. We'll be seeing you in the near future on the show.
Like I'll be here a couple times.
Yeah. Rod's going to be here as well. Rod's probably going to be here for the next several episodes while he does his practicum. So, boys, we're looking forward to the next few podcasts. Shane, as always, let's go grab a bite to eat.
Yeah, sir.
All right.
McDonald's.